Amen. Thank you, Eric. Good morning, everybody. The Lord is very good. I'm living evidence that God is good. I'm living evidence that He is merciful. I'm living evidence that He is long-suffering. This is a strange day for me, and so I beg your patience. I have an awesome sermon, and don't know what to do with it. I feel a lot like my mother this morning. I can remember as a young boy growing up, so many times she said, "Son, I just don't know what to do with you." And I know how that feels, Mom, because I don't know what to do with myself either. And so we're just going to let the Lord do it. And I'm going to turn His light off. That'll help you guys see that screen a lot better. And, you know, who knows? We might come up with a good movie here. Amen. In announcements, do we have any announcements? No. Went to the post office this morning. We got a new shipment of charismas that we get every month. I encourage you to take one. We pay good money for these, so please use them for your benefit. What I like most about the Charisma magazine is because it's like a news magazine, not necessarily like some of our publications. We get a lot of good publications from various ministries, but they only talk about their ministries for the most part, or ministries they are connected to, where the Charisma is more of a news magazine, and it'll tell you what the Lord's doing all around the world through various ministry camps. And I just, to me, that's important, and that's why we share them with you. This particular one has a picture of my second best liked teacher on the front, Bill Johnson. He's my second favorite. My first favorite's not on this one. But I have two favorites, you see. He's the second favorite. Don't tell him I said that. He probably thinks he's the first. But Bill Johnson is on the front of this one. He is a teacher of the Word who is up on what God's doing now. And I highly recommend anything you can hear from him. You know, there's a lot of good teachers and preachers out there, but not all of them are up on what God's doing today in the body of Christ. And so that's, you know, I'll send him a bill for that advertisement. Send Bill a bill. I'm going to title today's sermon, Onion or Cinnamon Roll? If you slice an onion in half, what do you get? Rings, onion rings, okay? Cinnamon roll, do you ever come on? So many of you ladies have made cinnamon rolls. Even some of us guys have made cinnamon rolls. You have your dough all out on the counter, and you just smother it with brown sugar and white sugar and green sugar and purple sugar and all kinds of nuts and lots of brown cinnamon. I mean, I like to just smother it with cinnamon. I like too much cinnamon. And maybe throw in some raisins or some dates. I mean, make a cinnamon roll worth eating. Yeah, and then you roll your dough. You can put a big flat dough with all these goodies on it, and you roll it and 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 roll it until you have a tube, and then you slice it into cookies, bake them, and you get cinnamon rolls. But if you would unroll that, it would be a continuous path, right? You see what I'm saying? So today's sermon is onion rings or cinnamon roll. Continuous. You say, what's that have to do with anything in the Bible? I'm not sure. But the Lord's been speaking to my spirit, and I'm trying really hard to get what He's speaking to my spirit to my brain. So let's work on that right now with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, sir, I want to thank you for your word, for the revelation knowledge of your word. I want to thank you for the spirit of your word. I want to thank you, Lord, that we have a spirit that can be connected to your spirit. Lord, that we being connected to you will know more about you and more about the mind of Christ, more about our walk on this earth plane. Lord, I want to thank you so very much for helping us and working with us and teaching us. And I pray that what is in my spirit today to bring forth as a revelation will somehow get there into my words and into the hearts and into the hands and the feet of this people. Father, I thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, onion or cinnamon roll, I'm going to break this down into a little bit different thought pattern. And by the way, this is about three sermons in one, and I'm trying to dovetail them together. But thinking of the onion rings or the cinnamon roll, the onion, sake of the onion rings is levels, various measures. I got some synonyms here. Various degrees, various dimensions, various intensities, various potencies, you know, like potents. Various proportions, various calibers. Okay, let's play with this a little bit. Maybe we ought to, before I get into the scripture, I need to put out kind of a summary here before I start digging in that. It would appear to me that God and heaven and all the various characteristics of God and heaven and all that is spiritual has many different levels, layers, calibers, potentials, dimensions. See what I'm saying here? Lots of different rings. Let's pretend for a minute that heaven, taking heaven as we think we know it, and we have the littlest ring in the onion, and you know, you've finally met the girl of your life, and it's just like heaven. And then she has the cutest baby, and you move up to a smaller, to a larger ring in the onion, and oh, she's just such, not only is she a lover and a wife, she's now become the mother of mothers. She's so perfect, you know. And as life moves on, it gets better. Then you get born again, and you just found Jesus, and he found you, and the whole world's going to change because of this. You're so excited, so you've moved into another realm of heaven and bliss. And then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gifts start working in you, and all of a sudden you're doing things you never knew you could do before because the Spirit of God is empowering you by his word under the influence of his Spirit. And you get in a bigger realm, bigger onion ring, and heaven just becomes more glorious than ever before. You're in dimensions that you weren't in before. And then a freight train comes by, jumps the track, and runs through your house and blows you away. You go to heaven. Well, the onion ring has gotten bigger yet. Now you're there with Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt Tooley and Uncle Tooler. And you're just having the best time. You're in a bigger, most wonderful dimension of heaven. And then you meet Peter and James and John. It's even better. Then you meet Jesus. It's like heaven couldn't get any better than this. Then Jesus takes you by the hand and walks you up to the throne, and he says, "Sit up here on my knee while I introduce you to Dad." Oh man, heaven gets really good. And then you think you've got the ultimate heaven, and all of a sudden, you know, the Father says, "You know, we're needing to do some stuff out there in outer space. I'm going to give you a planet. And I want you to do on this planet what I intended for Adam to do on planet Earth, but don't mess up." And so, you know, heaven just gets bigger again. Now, I could play with this, and we could go into Star Wars and Star Trek, and you know. But what I'm trying to do here is present to you that there's various levels of heaven. I believe there are various measures of heaven, various degrees, various dimensions. I like that word a lot. Different rooms, dimensions, different places, different intensities. It goes on, different calibers. So are you with me this morning that there could be a higher dimension than where we are today? Now, I don't know if we have to jump into the next ring or if it's a cinnamon roll and we just keep on walking and it just gets bigger and bigger. And I don't know. That's the title for the sermon. But I do know with all my heart that God wants to move us to a higher level. At whatever level we are on, that's a good place because God brought us to this place. He brought us to this level. He put us in this dimension. But now it's time to move into something deeper, something higher, something more glorious, something more wonderful, more God-like. And I've got a hunger in my spirit for this. I've been serving God a lot of my life. I was born and raised, you know, into such a, well, I was about 5 years old when my parents started going to church all the time, serving God, and they're still going to church all the time, serving God. But, so I know a lot about church. I know a lot about serving God. I know a lot about a lot of things that I, you know, whether I walked in it or not, it's a different story, but I've had the information. I've had the inspiration. But there's something in me today that's not satisfied. There's an unsatisfied satisfaction in my walk. There's an unsatisfied satisfaction in the dimension I'm in. I want to move deeper with God. And I want to move higher with God. Because I don't believe He wants any of us stagnant. All of a sudden it's coming to my memory. Genesis 1 and 2, where God created man in His own image. Have you noticed how a man grows and matures? Gets better and gets bigger. Huh? Evidently, the realm of God's like that because if He created us in His image, then that's what He looks like. He grows and matures and gets bigger and better all the time. Oh, you mean God can get better? Well, yeah, He's the creator. A creator has to create. A creator has to increase. God can't stay the same. He's on a constant increase. Before you throw any rotten tomatoes, I want to change gears a little bit here. Something as I meditated on these things, I began to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart. And something that He spoke to me, He said, you don't need to come up to a higher dimension because the higher dimension's on its way down to pick up where you are. I'm going, oh, Lord, you're overloading. I can feel the circuit breakers wanting to go. And so He took me to the Word. Now, for the sake of Sabrina on the keyboard back there, I need to tell her how to do this a little bit. Let's go ahead and read Genesis 3:8. Everybody says Adam and Eve. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Okay, why were they hiding? They had sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit, right? We all know the story. See, I know the story. It's interesting. Adam and Eve didn't eat the forbidden fruit and then climb the ladder of heaven and get up there and knock on the throne room of God's door, the door of His throne room, and say, Lord, we need help here. We've goofed up big time. We ate the forbidden fruit. We're here for help. Did they go up for help? No, they were hiding. They knew they needed help, but they're hiding. Where's God? He's looking for them. Now, he knew where they were. But for the sake of a good story, He does these things, you know. He's looking for them. Adam, where art thou? Shh, shh, shh. Eve, be quiet. Shh, be still. He'll find us. Sometimes we're just that juvenile. I want to submit to you something. This was the first big sin. Probably the first sin, period, okay? And God came down from above to help us. He said, those kids had blown it. I'm going to go down there, dig them out of the jungle, and have a talk with them. Right here and now, you need to start thanking God for his mercy. Because some of you, like me, were in the garden hiding after we sinned, and God comes looking for us and digging through the bushes. Mitch, where art thou? Do you see the mercy of God in this? And so, we talked about all these levels and dimensions and measures and calibers and onion rings. But I want to submit to you that God comes down to help when we need help. He'll lay down in the gutter with your drunken vomit if he has to get your attention. Is anybody here this morning? We have a God who is so loving, so compassionate, so intently determined that his kids get help, that he comes down to wherever we are to help us. You ought to be happy about this. Lord, I don't know if they're happy or not. They're hardly smiling. Well, let's jump all the way to the book of Revelation. Because I got to get this into your heart that God comes down. Revelation 21, verse 2 and 3. Now, this is the Apostle John speaking. He says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. What was it doing? Coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. One more verse. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now not in heaven, not in the Jerusalem. It's now among his people on the earth. Hallelujah. And he will live with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them. Even, you know, we're going from Genesis to Revelation here. Now we could fill this in because there's a lot of blanks between Genesis and Revelation. But I want to assure you that in all these blanks, God always came down to help those in need. He didn't lessen himself. He didn't desecrate himself. He didn't dirty himself. He came down to save. He came down to deliver. And he came down to heal. And he came down to redeem. Our God loves us. Let's go to the middle of the book. We went Genesis to Revelation. Let's jump to Luke 21, 25 and read about three verses. Now this is what you could say our times or could be, depending where you live and what nation you live in the earth, you can fit this right into somebody on the planet. And there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and the strange tides. People will be terrified. King James says their men's hearts will fail them. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. Next verse. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Wherever you want to put this in the time and in the ages, wherever you want to put this on the planet and the various nations of people, I want to submit to you that God came down to save a people in need. Are you still with me? You're still with me. I'm so glad you're still with me. Okay, let's go back a little bit and talk some more about these onion rings and cinnamon rolls, okay? Or various dimensions. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever. How long is that? Somebody tell me how long is forever. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is what? Okay, would you call that a great love? I could even call this a high dimension of love. Amen? Okay, let's look at John 15:12-13. Jesus says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. In Jesus' own words, I believe he's showing us here the ultimate love as we can know it upon the earth. I happen to believe that there's higher levels of love than this, higher dimensions, higher calibers, but not upon this earth. You got to get into a heavenly realm to get into the higher love realms. But that's another story for another time. Look at Ephesians 5:2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, who said in what we just read, give your life for others. He loved us and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Do you see here that Jesus came down? God sent Jesus down to fill us with his love. And so, but what I wanted to show you here in the dimensional is that this love that we're talking about, this Christ love, this Jesus love, this love that gives its life for another, this is a high dimension. I mean, this is that big onion ring. Are you with me? Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Wait just a doggone minute. I love my dog. What dimension is that in? Wow, darling, that is the best, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, that is the best, that is the best, that is the best enchilada you have ever made. I loved it. What dimension is that love in? Would you agree with me that in the word love, there are varying levels, dimensions, measurements, calibers, places of love? I don't see that there's much comparison with loving my dog and loving God, or loving my cat and loving Mitch enough to lay down my life for him. There's not much comparison there. We're going from teeny tiny little bitty onion ring to a huge one. Interesting to me. Let's look at one of two of the dimensions of faith. In Matthew 15:21, a beautiful account here. Jesus left Galilee and he went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter's possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him, send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all of her begging. Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, people of Israel. But she came in and she worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps. No, Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Then she replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall under beneath their master's table. Here we go. It's going to tell us what level of faith she was on. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is a huge, large, big, way out there in dimension onion ring. Your faith is great, and your request is granted, and her daughter was healed instantly. Great faith. Now, I don't know which onion ring you're going to use to define great faith, but it's big. I'm telling you, it's big. It's huge. We're looking at dimensions here. Look at Matthew 17:14. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them, and a man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus said, you faithless. He just told the woman she had what? Great faith. And now he's telling these guys, his own disciples, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy. It left him. And from that moment, the boy was well. We're looking at dimensions again. We see a dimension of great faith in Jesus' own words. And we see a dimension in faithlessness. I'll get it here in a minute. And so in our faith, we can have a teeny tiny bit. We can have no faith at all. He called them faithless. I mean, how much lower can you get than faithless? And yet the woman who wanted the breadcrumbs falling to the table, he said, great is your faith, honey. You got great faith. Interesting to me, the various levels and dimensions. Hope. Faith, hope, and love last forever, they say. We looked at love. We looked at faith. Let's look at hope. Ephesians 2:12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. This is before you met the Lord. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises of God that he had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without what? This is hopeless. Like faithless, this is hopeless. Now look at Hebrews 6:18-19. God has given both his promise and his oath that these two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the what? To the hope that lies before this. And this hope, which hope? This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, and it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Again, dimensions. We went from no hope whatsoever to a hope that anchors your soul into God. Do you see the dimensional? Now, if we had time to go into it, we could find other Bible stories, I'm sure, and Bible examples of where there's, you know, a little bit of hope, a little bit more hope, a little bit more hope, a little bit more hope, and finally you got that big anchor of hope. Again, God's in the highest dimension there is. And when we're without God, or when we're in a place of disobedience and dire need, we're in like the opposite. God's in the highest dimension, and sometimes we're in the lowest dimension. God's on the highest level, and sometimes we're on the lowest level. And what does he do? He comes down to rescue us. Are you still with me? Gee, I hope so. Okay, we're still looking at dimensions again. Look at the dimensions of heaven that we have here in 2 Corinthians 12, first four verses. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. He went into the third heaven was so super duper wonderful. The third heaven was so beyond words. When he got back, they said, "How was it, Paul?" And he said, "Duh." And that's just the third heaven. Now, I have a Bible commentary at home that tells me there's seven heavens. I don't even begin to know how many heavens there are, okay? You know, we like to play with it in our mind, you know, and we got, you know, the heaven that we breathe. And then the heaven up there where the satellites are going around and around. And then we got heaven, you know, where God lives somewhere out there. That is so elementary. Heaven is a spiritual place. It's a spiritual domain. It's where God is. But there are dimensions of it. You can be far away from God. You can be kind of close to God. You can be really close to God. You can have God all over you, depending on what dimension you're in. Everybody said, amen. Look at Ephesians 4:7, about three verses here. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, speaking of Jesus, he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says, he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also had descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he, Christ, might fill the entire universe with himself. Oh, I love that. I just love that. The dimensions of heaven. Wow. He takes us all the way from what you might call our born-again experience into the entire universe with himself. That's dimensional, brother. Let's move on. Okay, my thought here. What's your thought, preacher? Well, my thought here is the importance and the necessity of looking up for help rather than down. I'm bringing this to some kind of a punchline here, okay? It's not the punchline because I'm not done, but my thought here is that God wants us looking up when we need help. And my thought is that the reason we look up is because our redemption is coming nigh, coming down. I just love the thought, and I just love the fact that we don't have to climb a ladder, knock on the door of where God lives and say, "We need help, we don't know." He comes down. Everywhere I look in this, he keeps coming down into our dimension, into our lowly world, as it said right there in that verse. He keeps coming down to where we are so he can deal with whatever we're dealing with, fix whatever needs fixed, save us, heal us, deliver us, redeem us, whatever it takes. God's on his way right now to save you. One of the biggest tricks that the devil has is to try to convince us that God doesn't care and he will never come down on your level. You're just hopeless and lost. That's a lie of the devil. You cannot get far enough from God to not be saved. You cannot get hopeless enough or lost enough that God can't find you. Adam and Eve were hiding in the jungle and he dug through the bushes and found them and pulled them out there and talk to them and set them free. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, that's my thought. The importance, the necessity of looking up for help rather than looking down. See, we have a choice. We can look up when we need help. We can look straight out when we need help. Or we can look down when we need help. Let me give you some examples. Some folks, when they're in trouble or trauma, they look down rather than up by looking towards drugs, alcohol. Oh, good self-help book. That's what I need. I go down to the psychic, that lady that lives across the tracks and drives a 1972 convertible. If she's a psychic, why hasn't she prospered? She's still living in that house, driving that car? Maybe she's not really a psychic, or she'd know better than that. She'd go win the lottery. Some folks in trouble or trauma look down rather than up. Okay, now I'm going to step on your toes. Everybody, draw your toes back so I don't step on them too hard. And I'm going to relate to this very well because I'm going through something right now that is so on this personally. Sometimes we look either down or sideways for help. Please, please forgive me. Stay with me. Don't, be patient. How many times have we went to the doctor for help instead of God? I'm not against doctors. I go to them too. But I believe, everybody say, point at me and say, he believes. Do that. Point at me and say, he believes. I believe it's better to go up and talk to God about whether or not we should see the doctor. We've had this thing upside down. We thought, well, I better go to the doctor. Something's going on, not right. I better go to the doctor so I'll know what to pray about. Honey, that's good, but it ain't perfect by any means. It might sound like a good idea to go to the doctor so you know what to pray about. But darling, you got the cart before the horse. You need to go up and talk to God first and see if you need to go to the doctor. Don't go to the doctor to see whether or not you need to go to God. Some big people go to the doctor and he prescribes a medicine and some treatment as good as him saying, well, now you don't need God. You don't have to talk to him about it. We can fix this. Well, if that's what you want, that's what you can have. I'm going through something right now physically. I've been going through it for several months in my physical body, and I'm thinking, I should go to the doctor, find out what this is so I can know how to pray about it. And in my spirit's crying out saying, you got it upside down, boy. Go to God and ask him if he wants you to go to the doctor, and if he does, he'll even tell you which doctor. Now, where is our maturity? Again, I'm not against doctors. I love doctors. I need doctors. But we need to put God first to keep him there. And we need to come to a place of maturity in our Christian walk where we can talk to God about these things and hear from him. We shouldn't be going to the doctor to find out if we need God. Praise God, there's a few Christian doctors out there that might find out what's going on and say, you need to first of all repent. You need to quit doing that. And you need to get right with God and right with your wife. You know? There's some doctors out there that tell you the truth. You know? But I'm saying, let's put God first where he belongs. Now, it's going to take some maturity here. If I'm in this little tiny onion ring, I probably don't have the maturity to talk to God in that sense. But it would seem like by now I should be in an onion ring big enough, in a dimension deep enough, in a place sacred enough that I could talk to God and get some good answers on what I need to do about doctor, medicine, yes or no, which way to go. You know, as I meditated on this in preparation of this sermon, I start feeling real immature. We call ourselves faith people, Christians, word of faith, power, We've got a whole, Becky keeps a record of the prayer team in their 3 days a week. They do the prayer team thing, and she keeps a record of prayers answered. I mean, we've had astounding miracles take place after people were prayed for from this. And I just like, yeah, let's do that. But in my own personal walk, sometimes I just feel so immature when I'm needing answers and I'm looking this way, that way, or that way. when I need to be looking. Again in Luke, you could find it again in Matthew 24. You know, the whole world's falling apart. Whole world's falling apart. I mean, the whole world's falling apart. Have you seen the news lately? Whole world's falling apart. And he says, look where? Look down. Go to a psychic. Get you a self-help. Find a good doctor. What did he tell us to do when the world's falling apart? Well, how about my world personally, your world personally? How about our physical body? How about our well-meaning, our you know, our well-being of our brain? What about, when am I going to grow up? And when my world, the world of Calvin Lee Scott, when my world starts falling apart, when am I going to grow up and mature to the point where I'll look up? God, I see you coming down from above to do something about this. Am I making sense to anybody? Don't go home, throw all your medicine away. Unless God says so. And he's not going to say so. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't go to the doctor one day and God the next. Stick with one of them. How many of us have went to the doctor and didn't like what he said and said, go home and do our own thing? I'll get a second opinion. You know, I got to get an opinion that I like. That's so hypocritical. If you're going to pay good money to go to the doctor and seek his advice, then have enough courtesy to do what he says. And if you're going to go to God and he gives you advice, have the courtesy to do what he says. Good preaching, boy. I love you guys. I ask you, when we started this, I ask you for patience, right? I am so hungry. I am so starving for the dimension, wherever it is out there. I'm sick and tired of this baby onion ring that doesn't have any babies. I'm hungry for more of God. I'm hungry for a relationship with God that tells me what I ought to do. I'm hungry for a relationship with God where I recognize his voice and he can tell me exactly what I need to know. Thank you for your patience. Please don't go take your money out of the offering. This will get better, I promise. Sabrina, can we go to Psalms 18:16? He, God, reached down from heaven. Woo! Somebody ought to be shouting about now. And he rescued me and he drew me out of the deep water. He reached down from heaven and he rescued me and he drew me out of deep water. Come on, somebody needs to make a song out of this. Come on, Mitch, get your guitar out here. He reached down from heaven and he rescued me and he drew me out of deep waters. I did not have to get real spiritual, put a big check in the offering, you know, and quit sinning for 3 hours and, you know, climb up on a ladder on the top of my house to get as close to heaven as I can and say, God, sir, hey, I'm down here. I need help. I'm as high as I can get. I need help. Just stay in the gutter. He'll find you. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, he'll dig in the jungle and he'll find you. He'll rescue you. He reaches down. It's interesting, the little realm, the little dimension, the lower levels don't reach up for help. The higher levels reach down to help. Somebody ought to be thanking God for his grace and mercy about now. Psalms 121, 1 and 2. I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Are those eyes going up or down? Ephesians 1:19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Next verse. Now, He is far below. Excuse me. He is far above any ruler, any doctor, any president, any authority, any power, any leader, anything else. He's far above anything else. Not only in this world where we live, but also in the world to come where we will live. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. That's point at somebody and say, you're His body. And it's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. Christ is, can we have an agreement here that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father? And right, yet it says right here, He's wanting to fill everything everywhere with Himself. He's not up there, you know, thumbing His nose at us saying, I made it to the top. You can just fend for yourself, honey. Just suffer. No, He's set it at the right hand of authority so He can speak in authority and say to the devils that are tormenting us, be gone and leave them alone. So that He can say that the disease and the illness and the sickness that torments us, be gone and leave them alone. He's sitting at the seat of authority so He can do something in power for His loved ones. He's in a place of authority so He can benefit you and benefit me and benefit the church. Come on, baby. Let's preach this. Woo! Maybe we better look at James 1:16. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming what? Coming down to us. Is God coming down to us? The gift is coming down to who? Us. From who? From God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all of creation, became His prized possession. Oh, hallelujah. The devil gets one of God's babies and twists their mind and hurts them and throws them in the gutter, and they're dying in the gutter and they stink, and everything that's wrong is wrong doubled. And he looks down and he says, that's my prized possession. And he's saying to us who are watching this, go tell them I died for them. Go tell them my blood was shed for them. Go tell them that there's someone seated in heaven above that's speaking in their behalf. Go tell them that there's a lawyer at the right hand of the Father interceding for them and pleading their case. And the case is already won by the precious blood of Jesus. A good preacher could really make something out of this, huh? Colossians 3, first four verses. Since you've been raised to new life, we've been lowered to new life or raised? Lord, should I drink this water? He said, go ahead, you fool. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of earth. Set your sights on the reality of a lower dimension. Set your sights on the realities of what? Heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of earth. Huh? Think about the things of earth. I might have to get these glasses checked. Think about the eye. Things of heaven? Not the things of earth? For you died to this life. And your new life, or your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. One more verse. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. This is at His coming, His return. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed at His return, you will share in all of His glory. And I may add, because He is coming down to rescue us. He is coming down to fix it. He is coming down to put some clothes on our naked body like He did Adam and Eve. He's coming down to do whatever it takes because you are His prized possession. And He's going to come down and take care of you. And Him coming down does not desecrate Him or dirty Him in any way. He's way beyond that. He comes down and He digs you out of that gutter and out of that vomit and out of that miry clay, and He picks you up and sets you on a rock to stay. Makes you want to sing a song, don't it? Do you still love me anyhow? Folks, this is the God I'm hungry for. The God that I can put first in my life. The God that I can put first in my challenges. The God that I can put first and I have to realize it's a growth process. Remember the onion? Or if you prefer, remember the cinnamon roll. It's a process. It all has to do with growth, reaching higher. Please stand to your feet. I am so hungry. I'm so hungry to move into a new dimension. Now, wherever you are, wherever I am, no matter what dimension we're in, to move to a higher dimension, we have to look up. Did you get that? We really need to get this. We got to quit looking down for help. We got to look up for help. If you're like me and you're starving and craving and thirsting after a higher dimension, we got to look up. If we ever want to get out of this rut, get out of this circle that we're in, get out of this place that we're in, we got to look up. So everybody just do that right now. Just physically look up and close your eyes and just begin to visualize good things up there. On their way down to you. Boy, that's a job. That's quite an assignment. We look up with our eyes closed. We look up and we see good things coming down to help us. Remember, He said every good gift comes from above. You need good gifts in your life. You need to be brought up out of the miry clay. You need to be brought up. You need to be lifted higher. Then look up. Look up. Is your world falling apart? Then look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption's coming. Lord, everyone in here needs help. Everyone in here needs to be in a higher realm. Everyone in here longs for more of you. Everyone in here wants an increase in their capacity and ability to communicate and have fellowship with you. Everyone in here, in one form or the other, everyone in here needs more God. And Lord, we're looking up today. We're saying, Father, help. We'll look up. We'll up to the hills from whence our help cometh. We'll look up. We'll look up. Lord, we're looking up. We're looking up. We've looked down and that did not help us. We've looked sideways and that did not help us. Lord, we're looking up. We're looking up. We're looking up. We're looking up. Lord, I pray that you satisfy this craving in our spirit for more of you. I'm asking for help, Lord, that you would satisfy this longing in my soul. I'm asking for help, Lord, and I'm looking up because my help comes from above. My help comes from a higher dimension. Lord, I love you so much, and I just really appreciate your help. I pray, Lord, that the revelation of your word will begin to make sense to our understanding. Oh, thank you, Lord, for teaching us to look up. For teaching us to look up. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want to take you back just for 1 minute. Take you back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They committed the first sin that set all other sin in motion. And God came down to see what he could do to help. In the next chapter, I think it's chapter 4 of Genesis, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain got jealous of his brother Abel. And Cain murdered his brother. And God came down. Cain did not murder his brother and then go up to heaven and say, "Hey, Lord, I came up to let you know that I murdered my brother." No. God came down and said, "Cain, your brother Abel's blood cries to me from the earth. What have you done?" Another capital sin, another huge sin. And God came down to rescue, to set straight, to set in motion, to do what he could do to get it right for his beloved. Everybody say, help comes from above. Say this, when I need help, I will look up. No matter how low I am, I will look up. Lord, I pray that you just come down like a flood and begin to help these loved ones, these lovely people that are here this morning. Lord, these lovely, precious ones, these prized possessions of yours. So many of them are needing help in so many different areas of their life, Lord. Some things real serious and some not so serious. Even what we need from you, they're in their own dimensions and levels of intensity. But Lord, all of us needing help. And Lord, I just pray that we'll have the heart to look up. We'll have the decency to look up. We'll have the respect to look up. And we'll have the faith to look up and begin to declare, "My help is on the way." In Jesus' name. Okay, open your eyes. I got one more little thing to share with you here. in looking at the various dimensions of, you know, faith, hope, love, heaven, I was looking at the dimensions of the anointing. And in the beautiful account of Elijah and Elisha, his servant. And Elijah says, Elisha, I'm getting ready to leave this dimension. I'm going to a higher dimension. You won't see me again. Anything I can do for you before I leave? And Elisha says, yes, sir. I want a double portion of your anointing before you leave. And the old prophet says, well, if you see me as I leave, you can have your heart's desire. We all know the story. A chariot of fire comes down and separates the two of them. And a spiritual, supernatural whirlwind picks up the old prophet. And whew, he went into a higher dimension. And Elisha picks up his mantle, his robe, and his staff, and he goes to the Jordan River, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he strikes the water, and the waters part hither and thither, thither, as it says in the King James, here and there, right and left. And he walked across on dry land, and he gets across to the other side, and a bunch of young men come running out from the school of the prophets. And you know what they said? They said, oh my God! Oh! The spirit of Elijah's on this man. They could see the change. He moved into a higher dimension and they could see the change. And that's what I'm hungry for. Now I'm getting to the bottom line here. I want a change and I want people to see it and say, what has happened to you, Calvin Scott? What's going on in your life? I see the change. Isn't that the anointing we want? Isn't that the anointing we crave? Isn't that the anointing we're striving for? One that people can see it. Not because we did something wonderful, but because He has done something wonderful. Give about 50 or 60 people a big hug and a kiss. And come back on Wednesday night for more. We love you.